Hey, welcome into this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show presented by Johnson Financial Group on 104.3 The Fan HD3 and DenverPioneers.com. My name is Tyler Maughan and pleased to be joined once more by Summit League champion head men's soccer coach at the University of Denver, Jamie Franks. Jamie, congratulations, man. How are you feeling?
Yeah, just ready for the next game. It's the best time of the year. Just feel really grateful to have the opportunity that we do, that we're still playing.
Well, it's a very fun time of year, and this is, you know, something that is not at all unfamiliar to you and your guys, but you're coming off your ninth Summit League tournament title in 13 seasons in the league. It'll be your last one. Pioneers, of course, moving to the West Coast Conference next year, but a two-weekend Summit League tournament. You got a 4-1 win over Oral Roberts on November 9th, then got to rest up a little bit. You got a 4-2 win over Kansas City, the number 21 team in the country, on Saturday, this past Saturday. You're a few days out now. What was the tournament run like, and what are going to be your lasting memories from the last couple of weekends?
I just thought all season that we were living in the shadow of last year's team. You know, to go into a Final Four, to be the ranked, you know, the two, to be ranked number one most of the year, and then get the 2 seed overall in the tournament, and to be able to do what we did, it's special. And I thought last year carried into this year, where the guys just put too much pressure on themselves. And you know, you play all these top 25 games, you know, and the margins are really small in these games. And I thought we dropped a lot of those results, you know, from missing small plays, and just credit to the guys, because they never wavered, and there were some shaky moments, but the way that they were able to come together, problem solve, you know, we figured out who we are and who we're not. And sometimes you do that through failure. And I thought, you know, winning that championship, you know, last year, as good as last year's team was, you know, we got a red card, and we were dominating the final, got a red card, and then the other team beat us in the closing seconds of the final. So I thought it was like a big moment for this group, because they kind of stood outside the shadows of that team from last year. You know, they won the double. You know, it was our last year in the Summit League. I felt like when we made the decision to go to the WCC, I thought there was a heightened awareness of how important the Summit League has been to us. And, you know, we've won 9, conference championships, 11 regular season championships. It's just been so dominant. I don't care what sport, I don't care what gender you're talking about. The probability to win that many trophies in that short of time is remarkable, and it's a testament to the consistency of all the student athletes that have gone through all the adversity that we have. And when you have that big of a target on your chest, you know, to watch the way that these guys have managed all that pressure, you know, we're getting everybody's best game, and it's the World Cup for them. And you know, we're trying to go and play all these midweek games against Stanford and Virginia and Georgetown and Pitt. And the other team that we got to play on the weekend in conference is literally has Denver circled on their schedule. And so just a really cool moment for that team. I think they stand by themselves now, and there's just no question about, like, oh, were they able to live up to the expectations of last year?
How gratifying is it, you know, saying that they may have been living for a while in the shadow of last year's team, to see them succeed, watch that celebration for you and your staff? That has to carry an extra level of significance, I would imagine. I mean, obviously last year, an incredible run, and the things that you experienced and accomplished with that group, but every group is different. What did it feel like getting a chance to watch this specific team celebrate that?
Just that they weren't going to be denied. You know, you scored 4 goals in the semifinal, you scored 4 goals in the final. That's a new Summit League record. That hasn't happened, previously. I think a lot of Denver teams in the past scored 1 goal, and that was probably enough for us. This team just feels a little bit different. They feel like they're peaking at the right times. And, you know, I think all season, because you played so many top games, your attack doesn't get into the same type of rhythm. That is, if you played bottom teams. And I know a lot of coaches are like, hey, let's get a couple easy wins on the schedule. But that's just not the DNA of who we are and how we've been built. And, you know, in some regards, that kind of slowed our offense down a little bit this season, because we're playing on the road. You're playing all these tough games. You know, I think we've played 5 top 10 teams or something crazy like that. And so, you know, you're here now, and all the attacking guys are firing on all cylinders. You know, they created their own luck this season. And so, you know, this group feels a little bit different. They feel like, man, we can go anybody, and you know, we can go toe to toe with anybody.
We will dive in a little bit with specifics to those last couple of matches to get you a regular season title. But you mentioned, you get 20 trophies out of this Summit League era with 9 tournament titles, 11 regular season titles, and you're moving into a really good, really competitive West Coast Conference starting in 2026. But when the history is written about Denver soccer in the Summit League era, what did this period of program history mean to you, and how do you feel like it's going to be most remembered?
Yeah, I think where we're most proud is when we joined the conference, they were ranked 22 of 22 conferences. In the past couple of years, we've been top 10, closer to top 5. Last year, we were 3. And that comes from, a belief that you have to go and play the best teams. And my colleagues and the other head coaches, I'll miss those guys. I don't know if they'll miss me. With all those trophies, being only the staff of the year 5 times, is absurd, but it shows you they expect to, you won 3 of the 4 trophies the past 2 years and you didn't win coach of the year or staff of the year twice. It just shows you that the other coaches believe that that's what we should be doing. Like they expect Denver to be in the top 10, they expect Denver to be in the top 5, they expect Denver to play all these tough midweek games. And it just shows the level of expectation that, that we had for ourselves. And, Ryan Bush is a really good friend of mine from Oral Roberts. I'll miss him dearly. He dealt with me when I was hired at 28 years old, when I probably wasn't as nice or as calm as I am now. And I've had a really good friendship with him, and I think we challenge each other in a really positive way in the off seasons. And I hope that relationship stays for a long time. One of my other coaches at St. Thomas, he's one of we won a national championship together at Wake Forest. So I've known him for almost 20 years. He knew me as a young, insecure student athlete. And so Ryan Poor at Kansas City, just the rivalry that we've had the past couple of years, really happy to get the better of him this year. Beat him twice, won 3 of the 4 last trophies. But just having his, the way he sets up his teams, the way he's challenged us over the past couple of years, it's special. And then to go through all the coaches at Omaha, when we got in, that was our biggest rival. You had Jay Mims, who's a hell of a coach. He really challenged me when I was younger. And then you had Bob Warming. We had some incredible battles. He's done so much for college soccer. And then to, go to Donovan, they won the league 2 years ago. So, I for me as a coach, you add Delaware, you add UMass, they're top programs. Just really proud, and we've worn the Summit League brand with a lot of pride. There has been Summit League tournament representation in at least the second round of the tournament, like almost like whatever 13 in the past 14 years. It's incredible. We're getting 2 teams in the NCAA tournament now, and so the Summit League. I was hired at 28, it was a great place for the University of Denver and for myself to kind of grow up. And for all my student athletes that played in Macomb against Doc Johnson, he's the man. He's one of my favorite coaches. I'm happy that I don't have to go back to Macomb, Illinois anymore. But just like there are like really special memories, within these institutions, within these rivalries, within these games, within these settings. And so like we always talk about not being outcome based, and we talk about like enjoying the experience, and we talk about the journey. I think this year knowing that it was going to be our last year in the Summit League, we're actually able to pause and take a moment and really appreciate these people that are involved in it. Josh Fenton as the commissioner, how he's pushed the league forward. And so like there's nothing but gratitude towards it.
When you're able to put your stamp on this chapter with a performance like your team had in the tournament, as you said, I mean, 8 goals in 2 matches is something that's never been done before in Summit League history. To have that come along when it did in the way it did, what do you feel like has been the key for your offense? Especially, you go into halftime in that semifinal matchup, you're down 1-0, you get 4 second half goals, you get a natural hat trick in that matchup from Keegan Kelly. What do you feel like sort of flipped that switch? Where obviously your offense has had success like that this season, but to have it in such crucial moments is big.
We're not losing. You're not losing at home. Nico will tell you some record that we are at home. I'll get it wrong, but to have 110 wins and less than 10 losses, We weren't losing at home, and at halftime of that game, you're down 1-0, but there was just never any doubt. And I think that goes to the larger question that you're asking, which is like, the attackers believe in the processes. The attackers believe in all the things, the principles that we've been working on all year. And just because we weren't getting outcomes earlier in the year, they never wavered. And so there's a real belief. And when we've been working on the same things almost for a whole year, there are going to be some bumps and there's going to be some moments of uncertainty in that, but they've just stayed steadfast. And because of that, they put themselves in the right moments in the game. They put themselves with the right actions, and we just continue to do those things. The final really could have had 6 or 7 goals in it.
Keegan is a guy who is, I mean, just on fire right now, hotter than the surface of the sun. No goals in his first 13 matches this season. Obviously had some time away for the U20 World Cup in Chile, but 5 goals in his last 3 matches. And you know how good he is and can be, but when you see it click like that, what is that like for you guys watching him from the bench, knowing, oh, he's seeing things on a totally different level right now?
I think the trip away was so impactful because we got to see him play with another team. And, I've said this in a couple other interviews, but like just really narrowing his focus on like, hey, this is your skill set. This is how you can be effective in the game. This is how you can be more reliable. I think it really hit home to him, and credit to him, because I don't know how many student athletes, especially at his level, would have the humility to kind of take on this criticism and to be able to apply it right away. And ever since then, he's just putting himself in really, really good spots. And like, it's not streaky because he was putting himself, he's getting so many chances every single game. He scores in a plethora of ways. Score with his right, score with his left, score with his head, score on a breakaway, score on the back post, score on the front post. So that's why he's really difficult to manage, because he's just going to keep going, and he's just going to keep fighting.
One more point on this semifinal, and then we're going to take a break and talk about the championship matchup and everything that you got coming up with the NCAA tournament. But Bryce Willoughby scores the equalizer in that one in the 67th minute off of a corner. And for you guys, you've had a lot of success on set pieces this year. You've got 10 goals off of free kicks and penalties and corners. What's been the key to that consistency and that being such a spark?
Just being taller than the other team, being more athletic than the other team.
Those are always good things.
And I think that's, part of maybe a couple years ago when we could play such a attractive brand of soccer. There was other teams that maybe could mix it up differently with us, and I think like over the past couple years we found a better balance of how to make sure that we can still play our brand of soccer, but the way that other teams are playing, that that we're more accustomed and we're ready for that. And it's a combination of having really good service, and it's that a combination of really, really, really athletic guys. And there's no doubt that that's a margin in the game here when you're in knockout football that makes a difference.
Well, we are going to talk about that next stage of this 2025 season for the Pioneers with knockout football. All that remains with the NCAA tournament with the head coach of the Denver Pioneers, Jamie Franks. Pioneer Coaches Show continues next, presented by Johnson Financial Group on 104.3 The Fan, HD3.
Planning your financial future can be overwhelming and confusing. So let the experts at JFG Family Office help guide you to your financial goals. The team at JFG Family Office believes in increasing transparency, lowering fees, and striving to achieve better outcomes so you have peace of mind when it comes to all of your investing needs. Contact JFG Family Office at jfgfamilyoffice.com to get started on planning for your future.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Rolling along on 104.3 The Fan HD3, EndeavorPioneers.com. It's the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show presented by Johnson Financial Group. Talking Pioneers men's soccer with the head coach of DU men's soccer, Jamie Franks, as he and his team Summit League champions in 2025 again headed off to the NCAA tournament. But Jamie, we talked about the semifinal matchup, your win over Oral Roberts. Let's talk about your Summit League championship match with Kansas City. A 4-2 win against a really, really good program. You got started really quickly, and for you guys to be able to get out on that note, to score early in the game and have that momentum, especially coming off of what you had done the week before, tell us how that sort of dictates the energy of a game when your start is so strong and so fast.
As a coach, I mean, I would always take the goal first, but I did not like the reaction to the goal. You know, you go up 2 minutes in the game, 1-0, you're in a final, you're all juiced up. And in some ways, I thought we took our foot off the gas. And that was the big halftime speech. The big halftime speech was, even though we're up 2-1, like, guys, what are we doing? It doesn't matter about the score. We're looking for these processes. We're looking for these habits. We're looking for this kind of competitive spirit that's not there. This is not a final performance. And I just thought in the second half, it was such a better indication of who we want to be and taking more risk in the game, pushing on to players. And so the goal was great to get us started. Obviously, you always got 1-0 in the first 2 minutes of the game. We knew they'd push at the beginning of the game. We thought that they would leave us 1v1 at the back, which obviously was a mistake. And so I'm just really happy because I felt like the guys had executed the game plan, especially early, that they're going to try to play in our half. They're going to try to put us under, and just one big ball can beat them over top. And that's how we got, started off on the score sheet.
You got big contributions from Kyle McGowan, who earlier this season missed a penalty at Stanford, but he comes through twice in the biggest moment of the season, 5 goals in the last 5 games. For him, especially, you know, taking a moment from earlier in the year, not being buried by that, coming through in a monster spot. What have you seen in terms of his growth this year?
I said the same thing after the Stanford game, where it's like, it's not that he missed the penalty. The story is that he wanted to take the penalty. You know, I want guys to be up there. I want guys, if you're not ready to miss the penalty, then you're not ready to make it either. And the humility that Kyle, they call him Chet. He looks like Chet McGowan, Chet Holmgren, which I didn't know when he first was being recruited and he was in the summer. Some of the older guys were like, hey, one of the freshmen, Chet's doing good. And I'm thinking in my head, I know I'm getting old, but
who did we sign named Chet?
I remember signing a Chet and It was so funny because he does kind of look like Chet Holmgren, and so they call him Chetty. So I'll just say Chet. But the thing that I've been most impressed with him is his ability to take information, his ability to take criticism from his teammates. He's got such an important creative brain for the game, and I think his teammates and him have had a better understanding of when he can take that risk and where to take that risk and what moments to take that risk. But most players would not have the humility that he does to be able to listen to his teammates and to be apply it right away. I think the other part of it is like last year, he's probably ready. He was probably ready to really make an impact last season. He played behind a 2-time All-American who should have won the Herman Award and Sam Bassett, who signed a first team Rapids deal last year. And he never wavered. He kind of just like learned that last season and was patient. So now I'm just like so incredibly happy for him. He's, you know, a lot of teams are trying to make sure that he can't play. And I think he's doing things all of a sudden in the last 3 or 4 weeks that are actually opening up space for other people, which is credit to him.
You said post game after the championship matchup that you didn't want your team to be content at 2 goals. And you get a goal in the eventual game winner from Will King, a redshirt freshman, 50-yard sprint out of his own half. The importance for a young guy, especially, of being able to recognize, like, hey, this is not, we have to be pedal to the metal the whole way through this. How pivotal was that in terms of, you know, obviously extending your lead and being able to, get things a little bit more in hand is big. But just to know that your team did not settle at 2 goals or whatever it is and just try to get something across the finish line, that's also a huge moment for young guys.
Yeah, and I think it comes from our mentality as a coach, and I think it comes from me in particular, of like, you know, we're not satisfied. You know, when I first got to Denver, they'd only been to two NCAA tournaments. And then the first couple times we got in the NCAA tournament, it was like, oh, we're happy to be here. And it was like, oh, this is a great. That's not where we're at anymore. And I think that we have real set, goal of winning this thing and just surviving and advancing. And that's kind of what I meant with this team. This team's a little bit different. Like, we should have put Vermont away last year. They're national champions now, and we outshot them, 25-13. And you had so many opportunities in that game. And I just felt like after the game, there was a real sense of like, man, we let them off the hook because we didn't shoot on target. We didn't take enough risk. We didn't increase our probability. Like, yeah, we got unlucky in the game, but we didn't create enough luck. And I think that's where this team is like, they're just leaving no stone untouched. They're just going for it. And when you play with that sort of vigor, when you play with that sort of competitive spirit, you're not going to have any sort of regret, on the back end.
Isaac Nami, huge down the stretch, and for a senior to come through, we talk about young guys coming through in big moments and how that can be such a big stepping stone in their careers, but for a veteran to do it, you would like to say you always expect it from veteran guys, but veteran guys who show up in big moments are a special breed. For Isaac and what he's done in his career, what he was able to do to stare down Kansas City, that's a monstrous thing that you carry with you for the rest of your life when you're a player like that. But how exciting was it for you guys seeing the fact that, not only are you putting up 8 goals in 2 matches, but you've got somebody back there who is just as locked in and just as fired up to get it across the line?
Listen, Isaac has won 3 goalkeepers of the year in his conference. I don't know any goalkeeper that's done that ever in any conference. And considering it's been a top 5, top 10 conference, it shows you the type of other goalkeepers that have played in the conference. And I think his big learning lesson, and I'll give his family a little pitch here, but, Magnolia Cafe down in Colorado Springs, Isaac, his family owns that restaurant. They treat us so well. We always go down there and have incredible meals. And I think for Isaac, the terminology that we've been using, or the metaphor that I think has helped him, is like, when you're running your restaurant, there's a bunch of people that do things. Okay. But Isaac is our chef, and he's the one that actually makes the food. And when he just focuses on that, and he just focuses on making the food, not where people sit, not the music that they play, not how they're seated, not even the dessert, not the appetizers, like, he is the main course. I think it's allowed him to play within his skill set better and to understand that, like, hey, some of these other guys got to do these other things. But man, if I make the food, that's why people are coming to this restaurant. And I think maybe in the beginning of the year, we asked him to do too much. We're asking him to start our attack. We're asking him to finish. We're just asking him to do too much. And I thought his focus was everywhere. And, I was very upfront with the players that was my fault. And I think since we've recorrected him and let him literally just make the food. And I think you're seeing that sort of empowerment. And, he's one of the best shot stoppers that has ever played in college soccer. The way that he communicates, the proactiveness, the way he reads the defense, man, that stuff is special. And when you're having him just narrow his focus on those things, it's making the team that much, harder to score on.
He's been, a backbone for you guys for so long. And he and Trevor Wright on Thursday, we haven't even mentioned your opponent on Thursday, but you're going to the NCAA tournament to take on UC Irvine on Thursday. And we're obviously going to talk about that. But Isaac and Trevor Wright both expected to break the Pioneers career matches started mark on Thursday. Dylan Akau is expected to move within 1 match of the career matches played record. And for those guys, no matter what happens this week or the next few weeks, what about their impact on this program is going to stick with you?
Just a real belief. You go and you play all these hard games because you believe it's going to make you better. You go and you play all these hard games because you know that when you got to go play a hard game in November and December, that we've already played these teams. We've already been on the road. Like, a lot of teams, I think, are scared to go play in the NCAA tournament on the road. They're unsure of themselves. For us, it's nothing different. And for these guys, I think it's because of the way that they carry themselves. It's the way that they do business. It's their process orientation. It's their focus on the every single day of building habits and trying to be the best versions of themselves. And I think when you do that day in and day out, and you do that for 4 years, when you do that for 5 years, you know, our team's different because half the roster is from Colorado.
Right.
Our team's different because we don't really use the transfer portal. Our team's different because we don't have too many foreign players. And so these guys, they're strong relationships with each other. They've been through ups and downs. They've seen each other play really well. They've seen each other, you know, in really low moments, academically, socially. You know, a lot of change happens from the 18 to 22 years old. And that's why I feel so fortunate to have my job and to be in relation to that, have the relationships that I do. But what these guys have just kind of constantly done is kind of made sure that their every single day was kind of their masterpiece. And I think when you do that, the younger guys come in with an expectation of like, man, every day matters, every play matters. And, you know, I think that's why they've had so much success. And, you know, I'll miss those guys like crazy. And I think it's a real point of emphasis. And if you listen to the post games of my players after the final, there's just like a heightened awareness that, man, every game we win, we get to spend an extra day together. And so doing it for those guys, love those guys, can't appreciate, you know, you can't say enough things and appreciate their work because they put it in every single day.
All right, Jamie, last question for you. You get UC Irvine on Thursday and you get them at home. You get them at the opening matchup of your NCAA tournament run. You haven't played UC Irvine since your third year in charge in 2017, but obviously your program very well versed in what this moment means, where you go into the NCAA tournament. You're not thinking about what comes after this. You're thinking about that first matchup. And that's the only thing that you're focused on. But the energy to, you know, to have this match at home, all of the stuff that you do to build to this, the ranked teams that you talked about playing in the non-conference season, matchup against a ranked team in a conference championship game. What is the feeling like just trying to, you know, reset essentially to stage one and go from a one match at a time mentality and try to keep progressing through and get back to the College Cup like you were last year?
I think in the past, we probably looked at the bracket differently. Now we're literally just looking at this game. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter who we play against. It is about us and it's about our competitive spirit and the way that we approach the game, the way that we problem solve. And so there's just a narrow focus on trying to maximize every single day for us. And, you know, Irvine's a great team. They're super well coached. I've known him for almost 14, 15 years. They do a heck of a job. They're going to be tough. They're champions of the Big West. There's nothing to overlook. I always find it funny when people are like, oh, I think you got a good draw. Dude, it's the Tournament of Champions. There's no good draws, and you got to play tough teams. And for us is to beat anybody in any condition on any given day in any circumstances. And now that we know the opponent, now that we know the weather, now that we know the venue, like some of these things are starting to come to light and just understanding that it's going to be hard. They're a good team, and you know, they're here for a reason. But also like a real belief that we're at home and we don't lose at home.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. November 20th, Thursday afternoon, 3:00. The Pioneers will get started against the Anteaters of UC Irvine at University of Denver Soccer Stadium and kick off the pursuit of another deep run into the NCAA tournament. That is the head coach of the Pioneers, Jamie Franks. Jamie, good luck out there on Thursday. We're all watching. We're all going to be pulling for you, and we'll be talking to you when the run is over, and hopefully when you're celebrating more unprecedented things at DU.
Thanks. Game's at 3 p.m. Leave your job early and come out and support us.
Get some tickets. Get out there. Pioneers and UC Irvine coming up on Thursday. Jamie, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Wrapping up this week's episode of the Denver Pioneers Coaches Show presented by Johnson Financial Group. I'm Tyler Maughan. We'll catch you next time on 104.3 The Fan HD3.